Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can log in and hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to talk about, actually, with NXT once again suffering an injury to a champion that could result in them relinquishing the title, and AEW claiming the WWE sent spies into their organization to infiltrate and report. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. Aside from that, we also are hearing conflicting rumors that Ronda Rousey has signed an extension with the WWE, and then another source saying just exactly the opposite, that Ronda Rousey has no intention of returning to the WWE. So I don't know what to tell you about that. Two reliable sources, 100% at odds with each other, one claiming she has extended her contract. Her contract was due up pretty soon anyway. And that's why the rumors were flying around that Ronda Rousey was possibly coming back, because if they were ever going to use her and they were paying her, they had to use her right away. Apparently the WWE didn't have anything right away for her. So the intent was, I guess, to re-sign her for another year at least, in which they could potentially use her. In other words, they're paying her to do nothing. You're firing half your staff. You're paying her to do nothing. And then you're wondering why your company is having problems. Not financially, maybe, but otherwise. You're wondering why you're not running on all cylinders. Well, I don't know. I mean, if I was a CEO and I took over and I started looking at some of these records and I'm saying, we have this woman under contract. Is she doing anything at all? No. Do we have any plans to bring her in immediately to do something? No. All right, then let her go. Yeah, but she might run over to another company. Oh, no, she won't. And even if she did, it's not going to be that big of a draw. The thrill is over with Ronda Rousey, if it was ever there. And I think it was for a short period of time, but, you know, The shine is off of that now, in my opinion. So I don't know, folks. Would the WWE likely want to sign her for another year? Yes. Yes, they would gladly pay her, I'm sure, until she's 79 years old to sit home. Because that's what the WWE does. I've yet to figure it out. All you have to do if you're a celebrity is get in the WWE for 10 minutes and then threaten to go to another company, and apparently they will just pay you to sit home for the rest of your natural life. So I don't know what the rumors are there. I would likely think that if Ronda Rousey wanted that one-year contract extension, she would get it. But I also know that Ronda Rousey said she wanted to start a family, and Ronda Rousey's getting in that age where she better start a family pretty soon if she wants one. So these are conflicting reports, Mike. We have no verification of either one. If I had to believe one over the other, though, I would believe that the WWE probably handed her a boatload of money for another year.
I would believe that too, Marcus, and because I think they want her back, particularly Vince would want her back again, and there are still branches on that tree, you know, that they haven't explored yet. So I'm just looking at it as a straight wrestling view. I'm not looking at it, you know, like you said, they have a habit the WWE does of paying people to stay home.
Yep.
You know, they pay. How much did they pay Ted DiBiase to stay home?
A lot of money. A lot of money. Yeah, I know. It was a ridiculous amount of money. Yeah, they do have a history of that. The thing is, what makes me think maybe it's not true is the WWE knew the big money was Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey in a rematch. That's where the big money would be. And Becky Lynch is going to be out for a while. And there's no guarantee that she'd want to come back and have that momentum to fight Ronda Rousey. So maybe they said, the match we want's off the table. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. But I'm with you, Mike. If I'm going to err on the side of the WWE has probably offered her a boatload of money to sit home. And there's no downside for Ronda Rousey. If she gets pregnant, all she has to say is, okay, well, I'm pregnant. Isn't that what Maria Kanellis did 3 times? Oh, let me sign my contract. Yeah, I'll sign this contract for this much money. Oh, I'm pregnant. I can't do anything. She did that to him twice. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to affect it in any way, shape, or form. So I'm gathering they probably have signed her for another year. The second thing we want to talk about is the possibility that Finn Balor has to give up his NXT championship. Now, originally they had said that even though Finn Balor's jaw was broken in 2 places, that it was not as serious as it sounds. Now, you know, having your jaw broken 2 places sounds pretty serious. But what they were saying is, well, it's not broken like shattered. It's like hairline crack. So a couple places, it'll heal up in 6 weeks, 5 weeks, he'll be okay. Now he's going in for surgery. So apparently that's not the case. I guess fake news actually works its way into the wrestling world as well, because that is the first thing that came out of the WWE's own mouth, is that it's not as serious as we first anticipated. Well, he's in for surgery, so that's pretty serious. And now they're saying, well, we're going to see how it goes. He may have to give up the belt. He may not. So at this point, we're in limbo. But Todd, this is if Finn Balor has to do it, this is the second consecutive champion that's had to give up their belt.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when I remember back in 2015 when he won the Universal Championship. And
well, that's true.
And that SummerSlam, he won at that SummerSlam pay-per-view. And then I remember that night he hurt his shoulder, tried to pop his shoulder back in from that injury. Then the next night he gave the belt up, back up.
Absolutely right. So this would be the second time Finn Balor had to give up a major belt. But what I'm saying is Karrion Kross had to give up the NXT belt after winning it from Keith Lee. And now potentially Finn Balor has to. And yeah, that's trouble. That's trouble for the WWE. No matter what, how you look at it, you can't be having this. You just can't be having this. And maybe it's my imagination, but I don't recall this amount of injuries, even during the steroid era, where everybody was on the juice, and you know that makes your joints weak and tendons weak and everything else. So, you know, there was a lot of these steroid-induced injuries. I don't recall this amount of injuries. I don't know what the hell's going on. But if Finn Balor has to give up this belt, Mike, it's kind of a black eye for NXT because, I mean, they don't have a lot of people down there to just put that belt on.
Right, and that's the thing. And here's something else to think about. We know that Finn Balor is small, right? Now, when you have a broken jaw or a fractured jaw, whatever, you go get it operated on. What do they usually do? You usually like wire.
Yep, wire shut.
And so, what's going to happen when he can't eat anything? He's already a small man. He's a small man anyway. Does he get even smaller? You know.
I don't know. I mean, if I was him, I would be sipping protein shakes 5 times a day through a straw, to not get much smaller. And it's only going to be 6 weeks, probably, or 8 weeks. So I don't know how much that would affect. If he were on steroids, it could. He's not. But if he were, I mean, we've seen John Cena that one time, you know, come off of, I don't care what anybody says. You can flood my inbox with hate mail all you want. If you tell me John Cena at some point in his career wasn't on steroids, baloney. Okay, do you remember when Carlito's bodyguard supposedly stabbed him at a nightclub and he came back about one-third the size of the original John Cena? You don't lose that much muscle mass in 2 months. So, yeah, I mean, a Finn Balor, that could be a problem, but I think probably because he's so small anyway, I don't think he's got a lot of weight to lose. He'll still work out, so he'll probably be okay. Then comes this very interesting news article, and it was something I was going to discuss anyway. I had sort of bandied it about, should I talk about it, should I not talk about it, because I don't have any evidence. But since they've already come out and brought this up anyway, I'm going to tell you what they said, and then I'm going to tell you what I've heard. Apparently, it was leaked that Eric Bischoff would make his appearance on AEW. And Chris Jericho took to Twitter to say, the reason it was leaked is because we have a spy in AEW, and we know exactly who it is, and we know that the WWE sent him here. And his ass is gone, and he's never going to work in AEW again. Well, through process of elimination, the only person that left WWE and is now back with WWE, even though they were let go a few months ago, is an NXT worker by the name of Tino Sabatelli. Tino had one match on AEW After Dark, I believe, in AEW. And for some inexplicable reason, is right back into the, you know, NXT training facility. And this is the guy that they're saying most likely was sent over to AEW as a spy. Why they would do that and then just ruin it by something as small as Eric Bischoff is showing up, I don't know. But let me inform Chris Jericho and everybody else about something. You're worried about WWE having a spy in your midst? Tino Sabatelli is the last person you need to worry about. The last person. Because from what I hear, there's a much bigger fish. And whether that fish will ever get pulled out of the pond, I don't know. Or if it's 100% true, I don't know. And I'm not going to reveal the name because if I do, then, you know, it's going to look whatever. Everybody's going to flood things with, oh, you're wrong, or oh, you're right, or oh, I didn't think about that. But here's what I will tell you. Take a look at the names that come from WWE, went to AEW, and then take a really good look at who they're using, who they're not using, and who still has really, really, really strong connections to that company. Now, the only reason you'd send a spy over, let's be honest. It's not like this is, two countries feuding and going to war over nuclear power. The only reason you would send a spy over is to see how they conduct their locker room. Or potentially to pull people away. In other words, sometimes you'll send a guy to, like, I don't know, say you go to New Japan or you go to AAA. And you say, you know, man, I worked in WWE. They're a good company. I think I could get you in there. It's that type of thing. They're trying to recruit. The second reason is they're trying to see what their operation looks like behind the scenes. How they prepare for their shows, how they get their work in and stuff like that. That's the only two reasons. And normally the way it works is they will let a wrestler go, still pay him, still on the payroll, technically probably still under contract. But if he's not, it's a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement. You go over there for a year and wink, wink, nod, nod, you still get paid here, but you make a phone call every so often, you know, let us know what's going on. The last person they're going to send is a guy who had one match on AEW After Dark. It's not like he's being let in on all the secrets of the AEW. It's not like he's sitting in on the creative. It's not like he's buddy-buddy or with the in crowd. Yeah, they may have sent him over to just see if there's any information he could find. I'm not saying that that's a fake story. But what I'm telling you is if WWE sent a spy over, and it's very likely they did, it's somebody who carry a whole lot more weight than Tino Sabatelli. So what's your thoughts on this, Mike? Because this is the rumor mill circulating that Jericho says we outed the spy. He doesn't mention Tino Sabatelli. He just says we know who you are. And you'll never work in AEW again. And that's the only guy they let go. And he's back with the WWE. So we presume that Jericho is hinting that Sabatelli is the spy. What's your thoughts?
I mean, look, you know, my process of elimination, I mean, you know, like you said, we'd like to name some people, but we're not going to do that because, you know, we look at who they're using and how they're using them and how much they're using them and what they have in there. And we also have to look at what they have in store with their plans for them. So you look at all that and put it all together and you can't, you know, for process of elimination, it would be him. But again, it's got to be somebody bigger, you know. And it's not going to be, well, Rusev or Zack Ryder or somebody like that. So, because they basically left on bad terms, right, with the WWE. So why would they go over there and spy for, you know, them? So who else is on that? And it's not Cody. He was with the WWE. It wouldn't be Cody, so.
Well, no. I mean, I don't want to even give away any hints about who we think it is. But I will let the fans make this connection. There would have to be a reason. There would have to be a reason that you would want to go to AEW and report back to WWE other than financial. You'd have to have some vested interest in the company. And that's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so there we go. I mean, these are the biggest stories this week, aside from the fact that AEW widened their margin of victory over NXT this week. NXT did a little over 600,000. Well, I shouldn't say a little over. They did 650 or 670. AEW, way more, almost 200,000 more, 170-some-odd thousand more viewers. And they're in the high 800s. Now, some people are spinning this and saying this is not good for AEW because this was their big anniversary card. This should have been their highest rating ever, and it wasn't. But no matter how you spin this, they widened the gap between their competition. I don't care if they drew 200,000 and NXT drew 8. Then you could say, well, both dropped, yeah, but one really had a wide margin of victory over the other. And this is what I've been saying you have to watch for. If AEW and NXT are always separated by 100,000, give or take a few, neither company's moving. Neither company. They're just staying the same. It's that same 100,000 people that's making the difference. No one's gaining any popularity. No one's losing any popularity. It's just this is the way it is. What you need to watch for is when the trend starts to move. Now it's 120,000 they're winning by consistently. Now it's 130,000 they're winning by consistently. Now it's 150,000 they're winning by consistently, because that means you're swaying viewers. And this week, they were much higher than their normal 100,000 viewer victory. Now it could be just because it's the anniversary show. And I'll be anxious to see what next week the ratings are. But if AEW, even by 20,000, increases their normal, quote-unquote, normal victory, This means they're adding fans. They're not stagnant. While NXT is basically staying stagnant. So I think this is a positive sign for AEW, Mike.
Yeah, it is a very positive sign. And this is what I was talking about a few months back when I was saying, what happens if the gap widens? You know, what happens if it widens and it keeps widening, you know, to the point of where they're already in the mid-eight. You know, and the WWE is stuck at about 700, 725, 750,000, whatever it is. What happens if it goes up to 910,000 or 920,000? You know, what happens? You know.
Well, I'll go one step further than that. If the gap between NXT and AEW increases on a regular basis from 100,000, which it was for almost a year. 7-8 months. If it increases from 100,000 to 200,000, NXT will move their date, Mike.
And they should. And here's something else to think about. If it keeps going up and it keeps going up and it keeps going up and at some point it gets to the point of where it's in the mid nine. And it's getting close to that million mark, then what does that say for SmackDown and Raw, you know?
Yeah. Well, if it gets up to that, I mean, if at any point in 2020 here, or 2021, I should say, if any point in 2021, AEW, more than one time for some special event, hits over a million, WWE is going to press the panic button. I promise you, that's what they're waiting for. And they're inching close. High 800,000s ain't far away. They will press the panic button. I don't know exactly what that means. But I can promise you that if AEW is only 400,000 fans away from Raw, the panic button's going to get pushed. Now, you can ask yourself, well, why is this? Because I'm starting to see a backlash online from fans. There are a lot of fans who don't like AEW. There are a lot of fans who are now starting to say, the show is bullshit. The ownership lied to everybody. There are a bunch of snowflakes who just said, oh, everything's going to be, you know, kumbaya, and they have no women's division. They don't care about their women's division. Cody Rhodes is no different than Triple H. He keeps putting the belt right back on himself and all that stuff. I've heard all that. But in the midst of all that, the ratings are going up. And well, I think what we have to understand is when we enter the age of greater information, where fans know every aspect of every single thing that's happening behind the scenes, thanks to social media and, you know, shows like this even, fans changed. And I do see the wrestler's point of view where they say, no matter what we do, it's not good enough. No matter what we do, it is just not good enough. I mean, I was on a forum the other day, and as God is my witness, a fan popped in to say, Chris Jericho is overrated and he sucks. Now, I want you to let that sink in for a minute. I ain't got no Chris Jericho posters in my room, okay? I'm not the world's biggest Chris Jericho fan as far as, if you said name your top 10 wrestlers, Chris Jericho's not on it. But you would have to be a very special kind of stupid to honestly believe Chris Jericho sucks. Because no matter what you say, he has consistently been a draw. He's great on the mic. He's very good to above average in the ring. He can do commentary when you call upon him to do that. He's good at getting other people over and making some stars. And he's the exact opposite of what you would think somebody would say when you say they suck. You see, this is what we're starting to live in a culture of this, and it's starting to worry me because fans are changing. You know, you listen to, I don't know, some band, and they say, oh, I know they sold 60 billion zillion records, but they suck. No, they don't suck. See, you need to understand that your view isn't fact a lot of the time, fans. Your view is your view. I could say Metallica sucks. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't buy their album. But to actually say they suck, meaning they don't know how to play, they can't write songs, and they're bumbling idiots pretending to be musicians, that's not true. That's not true. And you saying it doesn't make it true. So this is the problem. So wrestlers are going to the opposite extreme and basically saying, shut up and eat what we give you. That's wrong. But that's their reaction to, no matter what we give you, you say it's no good. I talked to a wrestler the other day, and he said, you know, I listened to the show, and your analogy about the restaurant's pretty good. I always make the analogy about a restaurant where I say, if the food's lousy, you don't have to be a gourmet cook. If you're a gourmet cook and you own a restaurant, and the people coming in who are your customers keep saying, I'm sorry, the food sucks, then you just can't say that's because you're an idiot. You have to do something about it. Even if you think you're the best cook in the world, you got to do something about it because these are your customers. And he said, that's a good analogy, except let me take it one step farther. If every single thing I give you, you say sucks, why do you keep coming to my restaurant just to tell me it sucks? Why don't you just move on and go elsewhere? Would you keep going back to a restaurant just to say, hey, that sucked too? And he's right. He's absolutely right. At some point, if you truly think everything about something sucks, stop watching it. Now, fans' argument for this is, I love the sport and I like some of the athletes. I just don't like what they're doing with them. That's a good argument too. But at the same time, we have to understand that it doesn't help the cause for wrestlers to say, shut up and eat what we're giving you, or fans to say, wrestlers suck who obviously don't suck. I don't like Finn Balor. I don't think he's good on the mic. I don't think he's a draw. I think he's way, way too small to look even slightly competitive against bigger guys. But he doesn't suck. He's a qualified professional wrestler. I'm not going to sit here and say he sucks. That's crazy. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think he fills the void. He's not going to be a top guy because he doesn't have all the tools needed to be a top guy. Doesn't mean he sucks. He's a great athlete. So this is what we got to stop as fans, and this is what we got to stop as wrestlers if we're going to improve things. Because the wrestler I talked to is right when he said, we just get sick of the people coming into the restaurant saying the food sucks and stop coming in. He's right. That does get frustrating. But you also got to understand it gets frustrating for fans to say, at one time I loved this restaurant. Why can't you just go back to the food you had that we all liked? So it's 6 of 1 and 1/2 dozen of the other, Mike. But I do see the guy's point that the fans sometimes don't help these matters any when they say ridiculous things like Chris Jericho sucks.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about it this way: what are they saying with that? They're saying, "Well, we don't like how you're fixing this soup or whatever. We wish you would add a little bit more salt, pepper, whatever, whatever." Well, we don't like the ingredients, whereas a lot of fans, for instance, I'll give you, we can thank, you know, I didn't think much of Orange Cassidy until he had that feud with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho basically made me take a stronger look at Orange Cassidy.
Right.
All right.
And that, and that's what I mean when I say that he does help other wrestlers along. So, look, is AEW losing some of its fan base? I don't think so. There are people who are very vocally don't like them. I see them quite often on the some of the wrestling chat sites saying AEW show is terrible. I don't like AEW. I don't like the way they're operating. I don't like their head guys. You have a right. You have an absolute right to say, okay, then, you know, they're just not my thing. I've been there. Ring of Honor, like, was never my thing. You know what I mean? Well, even when they were the big rage, I'd watch Ring of Honor and say, eh, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. So I understand, but I didn't go out there and say every one of their wrestlers suck. Because that's silly. So I do think AEW is making some inroads, and we will see what ends up happening, because there is no doubt in my mind that if they cross that 1 million mark, more than a week in a row, let's say 2 weeks in a row, they get a million, or not even 980,000, there's going to be panic in the WWE. Absolute abject panic in the WWE. And if the WWE continue to put on shows like they're putting on, where they're just not using their talent, or no one's interested in anything, then, you know, that could happen. Now, we'd also mentioned that Paul Heyman brought up the subject of The Rock for WrestleMania, and here's how this happened. Heyman was doing an interview, and he was asked about The Rock and a possible Roman Reigns feud. And Heyman kind of stayed in character, which is, a lot of people don't like Paul Heyman. One of my favorite wrestlers, if not my favorite wrestler, AJ Styles, certainly hates Paul Heyman. But one thing Paul Heyman is good at is promotion to an extent. And what Paul Heyman said in character, I'm sure, is, let's remember one thing. The top star in the WWE, the head guy on SmackDown, did not mention The Rock's name. Had no interest in The Rock. It was The Rock who mentioned Roman Reigns, because The Rock wants to get the rub off Roman Reigns. The Rock would love to step in the ring with Roman Reigns. Of course he would. And he would be a very smart man to do so, because he would then get the spotlight again. He'd be in there with the biggest star in the industry, and it would be good for his box office. So, of course, The Rock wants to step in there and make a reputation for himself off of Roman Reigns. Of course he wants that rub. Now, that's pretty smart, because what Paul Heyman is basically saying is Roman Reigns is a bigger star than The Rock in the world of wrestling right now. The Rock's had his time. It's gone. And all the only reason The Rock would ever want back is to try to rekindle some of that fan base that he had, so they'll all go run to his newest movie. Now, do I believe that Paul Heyman in his heart believes that? Of course not. Paul Heyman knows The Rock would be the biggest thing to happen to WrestleMania if he came back and fought Roman Reigns, but he is cleverly using his character, Todd, to promote what could be a halfway decent feud, even though The Rock has semi-ruined it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about The Rock and everything. He sort of ruined it because of what he said about the president. He's like,
He said he was going to lose. He said if I go in, if I fight Roman Reigns, I lose. You know, how do you give away the ending, Todd? How do you say, yeah, I'll come back and lose to Roman Reigns? Of course I will. Todd, that's got to be the dumbest thing he's ever said.
Yeah.
So now, do you really care? See, that's the thing. That's the thing. You can't ruin it that way, Todd. I mean, if The Rock knew he had a chance to go to WrestleMania and fight Roman Reigns, wouldn't it make more sense for The Rock to say, if Roman Reigns thinks for 1 minute I'm coming back to drop a match to him, he's nuts?
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, that's what should have happened. I don't know. Anyway, fallout from the draft. Well, let me go to Mike on this. Mike, what do you think about the Paul Heyman thing?
Yeah, he's good at what he's doing. I mean, I found this, you know, I found this channel on YouTube where it's all OWC. I mean, I'm talking about pre-Monday Nitro WCW stuff where Paul Heyman is doing his, you know, his commentary bit with Schiavone and stuff. And it's like, with JR. And it's like, he's good in that character. He's always been good at doing what, doing characters and doing stuff like that. And even back then when he was a young guy coming up in the sport, he was good at it. So,
yeah.
Again, I like that. I like that Heyman. Now, granted, him being in charge on Raw didn't last long. I mean, but then again, that wasn't his choice. That was Vince McMahon getting nasty and wanting to micromanage shit. You know,
right?
So that's Vince McMahon. That Vince McMahon has a habit of wanting to micromanage shit. But yeah, I liked it. I like what he did there. You know, I like that he did it in character. That's what you want these guys to do. You know?
I agree. I just wish The Rock would have done the same thing and kind of said, well, if I come back there, I'm definitely whooping Roman Reigns' ass instead of saying, oh, it'll be an honor to lose to him. Great. Thanks, Rock. Thanks. Anyway, the fallout from the draft was bad. Fans felt the same way we felt, that it was a waste of time. It accomplished nothing. And tonight on SmackDown, we will see some of the guys who were drafted still be on SmackDown. Big E is going to be on SmackDown with the New Day in a six-man tag match. And there's a couple, I think, you know, there's a couple of loose ends people are going to try to tie up on Raw, too. So we won't really see the effect of this until, like, next week, I guess, where there's actually a separation of this. But as predicted, folks, Matt Riddle, of course, went to Raw right after Seth Rollins went to SmackDown, and Seth Rollins made the comment, in no time in my career do I want to face Matt Riddle in a match. I have no interest in it whatsoever, so for all I'm concerned, he can go to Raw. And, oh, miraculously, he went to Raw. So I think there's some real life heat here. And I think that, you know, we're staring down the barrel of some really weird times in wrestling with this, you know, Me Too movement and all this other stuff. But the WWE is kind of selectively punishing people. And some people just don't know when enough is enough. And apparently Matt Riddle's wife, now we find out. Before we had reported, Todd, that she had said basically that some of these women were skinny fat, meaning they weren't heavy, but they were loose. They weren't toned. And that she was, you know, an instructor. And I said, that's inappropriate, but maybe she's trying to get some business. You know, maybe she's trying to have these people contact her for a personal trainer. But now we find that the emails actually said, I look 100 times better than these women. And I'm not being paid an exorbitant amount of money to look good. Now, we got to understand that no one said you have to be a bikini model to be a wrestler. Shayna Baszler is not a bikini model. Nia Jax is not a bikini model, okay? You don't have to be a Playboy bunny or a bikini model to be a quality professional wrestler. Apparently, Mrs. Riddle, missed that. And then, of course, now we're hearing Matt Riddle talk some shit about Seth Rollins. So, I mean, there seems to be some legitimate heat there, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there with Matt Riddle. There's a couple other guys, not just Seth Rollins, refused to work with him. For example, Brock Lesnar is another one, refused to work with him.
Yep.
Everybody refused to work with him because his attitude towards people, towards the roster, he just in it for himself, technically.
I got to tell you that he's harming his career. It's one thing if Brock Lesnar, who is a moody dude, and he chooses who he wants to work with, and if he doesn't want to work with you, he's not working with you. Ask Jinder Mahal about that. If he doesn't want to work with you, Brock Lesnar's not working with you. I never heard Seth Rollins say that. As a matter of fact, I went back and I dug through some Seth Rollins interviews, and I found an interview where Seth Rollins said he would love to work with Matt Riddle. He said, I think Matt Riddle is a very talented guy. I'm paraphrasing. I think Matt Riddle is a very talented guy, and he has a very unusual skill set, a very unique skill set, and I think we could really make some you know, good matches out of it. That's about 4 years ago. What changed between now and I don't ever want to work with him, send him to Raw, and the powers that be are like, send him to Raw. So for the benefit of people who are still saying, I think this is a work, this is not a work. It's absolutely not a work. And once again, Matt Riddle is proving to be an imbecile. He's an imbecile. This is a guy who had an affair on his wife. By the way, his wife looks so much better than everybody else. How come your husband's cheating on you? You know, if I'm Seth Rollins, I'm going to be asking that question. Miss Riddle, if you look so much better than my wife, how come your husband's cheating on you? But anyway, this is a guy who is so stupid, he's cheating on his wife, and everyone in the locker room knows it. And when it comes out, he says, I never met the girl before in my life. As if someone isn't going to say, what are you, insane? Then when he's trapped and everybody comes up with pictures, here he is with her with a big smile on his face. Here he is kissing her. Here he is in the back seat of the car with his arm around her. Here he is at a restaurant with her. Then he says, okay, I did have an affair. But I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't force her to have sex. Okay, well, now we know you're a liar. We just don't know what the extent of your lies are. Maybe you're telling the truth. Maybe you never did force her to have any kind of sexual encounter. All I do know is the first thing you told me is a lie. So do I believe the second thing you tell me? I don't know, because the first one was a lie. Then you're dumb enough to go with, I guess, fans, because this guy was a fan who came out with this. I don't think he's a typical fan. He's not like just some chuckle-headed kid who showed up, you know. He's someone of some importance, put it that way. And Matt Riddle goes out to dinner with him and says, yeah, Seth Rollins is an idiot, and Seth Rollins hasn't developed as a wrestler, and I'm a million times better than Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is unsafe. And like, that's not going to get back to somebody? How dumb are you? Smoke another one. Keep smoking them. Matt, keep smoking them. And the two or three connected brain cells you do have will be gone. You're going to talk yourself right out of the WWE. That's what's going to happen to you. Because it's going to reach a point where people say, I just don't want to work with them. But here's the funny thing. Lars Sullivan shows up, and people lose their mind. How dare they bring him in after the things he said? I don't know. How dare you bring Matt Riddle in? Matt Riddle has a $10 million sexual assault case against him and has basically badmouthed every wrestler in the business. Now, the new allegation against Lars Sullivan is sleazy, but it's not illegal. Lars Sullivan apparently wanted this woman online to send him nude pictures. And he actually offered to pay for them. Now, she's a married woman, and she's a professional yoga instructor or whatever. And she very, very, God bless this woman. Whoever this woman is, and I don't really know her name, and if I did, I probably wouldn't say it because I don't want to drag her into, you know, this horrible thing happened to her or whatever. But God bless this woman. You know how she handled it? She didn't call the WWE and say, I was just one of your wrestlers, and I want $20 million. She didn't do that. She acted like an adult and said, hey, Lars. This is her exact words. Hey, Lars, I'm refunding your money. I've warned you a couple of times about crossing the line, and now you've done it again. So I'd rather not work with you anymore. I'll refund your money. You know, thanks for playing. That's called, I rejected your advances. Not I was sexually assaulted. Not I was horribly set upon. That's called I was hit on. You know what? That in when I was in my early teens, that's called being hit on. It happened all the time. A guy would go over to a girl and say, "Hey, man, you're pretty hot. You want to hook up? You want to come get some up to my apartment?" "No, I have a boyfriend." Come on. That's not serious. Come on, let's go anyway." "No, I told you I have a boyfriend." "Oh, I don't really care if you got a boyfriend." "Okay, idiot. I'm not going to tell you three times. I'm not interested in you." And then you walk away. That girl was not sexually assaulted. She was hit on. And she handled it because she's a woman. So I don't know what this Candy Cartwright's thing is. I mean, Matt Riddle's a chucklehead and he's an idiot. But if she's having a consensual affair with him and she does not want to have sex at a certain location, then all she has to say is, "Hey, moron, I've done told you twice, no." Now, if her allegation is, "I did say no and I was very, very adamant about it and he held me there against my will," then we'll talk. Then you probably got a case. But if you're telling me, "I said no," and he said, come on, all right, but I really don't want to, I don't feel comfortable, "Oh, it'll be fine, come on, okay, if you say so, but I really don't know, come on." Okay, well, then you can coerce, you're convinced to do it. That's not sexual abuse. It's also not sexual abuse for Lars Sullivan to ask for a naked picture of a woman. It makes him a cad and a little bit sleazy. It's not illegal. It's not an assault upon her. I mean, come on. What era are we living in? So now I hear, well, nobody wants to work with Lars Sullivan backstage because he asked a yoga instructor for nude pictures. Are you on drugs? Velveteen Dream apparently asked underage girls for nude pictures. I don't hear anybody saying they don't want to work with him. I don't know, Mike. A very weird situation with this whole how they're handling Lars Sullivan as opposed to Matt Riddle.
It really is. And look, we've talked about the Matt Riddle situation. You know, and what exactly that situation sounds like. I mean, okay, you're not gonna have. Okay, he asked her to have sex with her in the car while he's driving. No, it's dangerous. Or no, I'm not gonna do it because it's dangerous. Okay, I get that. Well, why don't you do this? Well, no. Well, come on, let's. And she. Basically, sounds like she acquiesced to giving him a Bill Clinton, a Lewinsky, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And that was Lars Sullivan. It sounds like he's a chucklehead because he chose the wrong woman to do it with.
Right.
You know, there are women, and we've talked about these ring rats, but there are women that would have not looked. Blink twice if Lars Sullivan had asked them to send them new pictures. They would have done it.
Yeah, let me play devil's advocate for a minute, and believe me when I tell you, I am not sticking up for Matt Riddle nor Lars Sullivan. I despise Matt Riddle. I think he's an idiot. But I find it very hard to believe that Matt Riddle forced a woman he's having an affair with on his wife against her will to have sex. I'm sorry. I find that very, very difficult to believe. Very difficult to believe that. He shouldn't have lied about it. He's a moron. Doesn't mean he's a rapist. And I find it very difficult to believe. Especially when it's oral sex, because at the end of the day, do you know the damage she could have done to him if she just wanted to get away? If she's literally saying, "I'm being held here against my will and I'm being forced to do something I don't want to do," Matt Riddle would still be in the hospital. So I don't know about that one. Now, as far as Lars Sullivan, let me tell you something. I know chuckleheads like Lars Sullivan, and here's what they think. Lars Sullivan is the guy. Did you ever go out with your friends, group of your friends, and a waitress comes over and says, "Hi, how's everybody today? Good. Can I take your order?" And looks at one guy first. What would you like? And then when she takes everybody's order, the guy says, "Did you see how she looked at me and took my order first? She digs me. She likes me." Yeah, guys do that stupid shit. I know what went through Lars Sullivan's head. She apparently sent him a picture of her legs because she was trying to illustrate that the strength of her legs. With my workout, with my yoga workout, look at my legs. My legs have become extremely muscular and toned. He takes a look at that and says, "Oh, she sent me a picture of her legs. She likes me. She's flirting with me. How about a picture of your butt?" And then she says, "What? I wasn't flirting with you." Just like the waitress ain't flirting with you when she asks for your order, dumbass. But these guys convince themselves. So, "Oh, she likes me. I better make my move." That's what it was. I'm telling you right now. That's what it was. So he's an idiot. But we all know idiots like that. Now, as far as his other stuff, all of this racial stuff and homophobic stuff, it's very hard for me to believe that he means it when he was in a homosexual porn movie. How are you in a homosexual porn movie and you hate homosexuals? That would be like me in a pizzeria if I don't like Italian food. What the hell's wrong with you people? He was probably stoned out of his mind, drunk off his gourd, and trying to get a rise out of people by saying, "I'm going to say a bunch of outrageous things." I don't think he's very bright. I think he's got some real issues. And Matt Riddle, he's just a pothead who thinks he's, the second coming of Shawn Michaels when, you know, he's quickly going to become Sami Zayn. So, I don't excuse their actions, but you also can't, what's the right word for it? You also can't over-exaggerate it. You can't say Lars Sullivan asking for a picture of a girl's backside is equal to a guy jumping out of an alley and grabbing a woman at knife point, dragging her in and raping her against her will. That's not true. If it were, then half the people on Facebook are guilty, because I'm guaranteeing you asked some girl for nude pictures. I'm guaranteeing half of you did it. And if you say you didn't, you're lying sacks of crap. First time a girl says, "You're kind of cute, you know, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "Oh, you got any nude pictures? I know how you guys work." So the bottom line, I got my producers nodding their head, cracking up. Hey, listen, the bottom line is, yes, guys do that stupid shit. You know, the bottom line of the situation is this woman handled it perfectly. She handled it like a mature adult. She said, "I've told you I'm not interested, and you keep persisting. Therefore, I don't want to work with you anymore. Here's your money back. Leave me alone." Now, if he had have continued to harass her, I'd say, now you got a different deal altogether. A totally different deal altogether. But he didn't. In his chucklehead manner, he probably said, "Oh, shit, I thought she liked me." See? See how that works? So, where do we stand with this nonsense? Well, the problem with Matt Riddle isn't so much that his side piece is claiming that he forced her into having oral sex, because I do believe that had he come out and said, "Yeah, I was having an affair with my wife. I'm not proud of it. But me and her were having a long-term affair. At no time ever did I ever force her to do anything against her will. Why would I have to if we're having an affair? What does an affair mean if it's not that we're having sex? So why am I forcing her? Well, I didn't force her." And everyone would have said, "That sounds right." And also, Matt, why don't you keep your mouth away from I'm better than everybody else? If you're better than everybody else, then how come you're not drawn? How come you're not a big, huge star? As far as Laura Sullivan is concerned, my friend, you're lucky to get chance number two. There is not going to be a chance number three. I'm telling you right now, there's not going to be a chance number three. So if you are a smart guy, you walk into that locker room and you say to these guys, look, I'm a fuck up. As far as this allegation by the yoga instructor, I thought she liked me. And I guess she didn't. I'm a fuck up. What can I tell you? She sent me that picture of her legs and I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Here's a girl who likes me. I'm going to get some cool pics and I'm an idiot. And every guy in that locker room was saying, all right, he's an idiot. But you gotta face these things. At the same time, you can't have fans saying, Laura Sullivan asking for a nude picture of a woman's butt. By the way, he didn't say, do you have any nude pictures? He just asked if she had any pictures of her butt, whether it was in a leotard or whatever, and that's what caused this. But asking for a picture of a woman's butt is not the same thing as raping her. It's not the same thing as, it's just not. Stop it already. And Matt Riddle being an idiot, he's allowed to be an idiot. Now, I will change my mind if Candy Cartwright comes out and says, everyone knows I was traumatized by the event. I have witnesses that I went there and said, do you know what that son of a bitch did? He forced me. And I felt threatened. He threatened to drop me off in the street if I didn't. He held me down against my will. I was traumatized. I went to my friend's house. I cried all night long. And I told him, I never want to see you again. Then I'll say, oh, well, then that's a different story. But if you're telling me after this horrible event, we went to dinner the next night, and then the next night I met him down someplace else, well, then you weren't traumatized. So, and again, if you want to show me Laura Sullivan continuing to harass this yoga instructor, then I would say, now that's a different story. You need to cut ties. But until then, these are just fuck up things, Mike, and people do fuck up. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're right. What are you going to do? I mean, the way it sounds is I have ran into guys like that, big ego guys. I can get any girl. I can get any girl I want anytime I want. And this isn't Ric Flair doing it because of the gimmick.
Right.
You ran into guys like that. I ran into guys like that,
Yes.
I can get any girl I want at any point in time that I want them. To do whatever I want with him. That's an ego thing. That's probably what he thought. Oh, this girl.
But see, the funny thing, Mike, is sometimes it happens with people who don't even have a B. Sometimes it happens with guys who don't even get girls. They don't even get the girls. But they'll say, look, I got 10 more French fries on my hamburger platter than you did. That means the waitress likes me. And you're like, well, what universe do you live in? But people do that, Mike.
They do that, and as far as his wife, what's his name's wife, Matt Riddle's wife, what she said. I mean, look, I get saying it about maybe a Becky Lynch. I've said it before, and look, you did say that before all this stuff started happening, Rollins was willing to work with him, right? Was
yes.
willing to work with Matt Riddle, right?
Yep.
But then he comes out and his wife starts talking shit about some of the ladies. And I bet what happened is Rollins took it as a slight against Becky Lynch. I bet you that's
what
happened.
Well, she mentioned her by name, Mike. She mentioned her by name. And then on top of that, what we didn't know apparently is that Becky Lynch had a bit of a problem with her physique. She said, I was kind of embarrassed the way I looked in my normal outfit, so that's why I wear things that cover me up completely, because I would be distracted in the ring because I think I don't look too good, and I've worked as hard as I can on my physique. It's just not coming for me, and so I started to wear things that covered me up more. I started to wear things that, you know, wouldn't show much of my body because then I felt comfortable in the ring. So she had a psychological issue with this anyway. And then for this woman to bring it up, I mean, just, you know, it's kind of classless.
It really is. And think about this, you know, Becky Lynch isn't the only one. I mean, remember the whole slap up with Nia Jax and her complaining about people talking about her body. And then, of course, I've heard things about people say things about Tamina, you know.
Absolutely. Well, but it goes even further than that. Here's what you got to understand. Again, we talk about normal guys. I know guys who are 50 pounds overweight, sitting on their freaking couch with a beer in one hand and Twinkies in the other, watching Britney Spears saying, she got fat, she's not good looking anymore. Are you on drugs? You know, that's the thing. So Becky Lynch can't be that sensitive. But at the same time, you should be a little bit classier. You're not a professional wrestler. That would be like a bodybuilder saying, I look better than, you know, Kevin Owen. Look at me. I'm ripped. Kevin Owen's a fat dude. That don't mean nothing. You can't do what he does, though. See, that's the thing. You can't do what he does. So it doesn't make any difference. And Mick Foley's just a big fat dude. Okay, but you can't do what he does. Dusty Rhodes is a big fat dude, but you can't do what he does. So that's not the point. And this woman missed the point because she said, you get paid to look good. No, that's not true. They get paid to wrestle good and draw a crowd. You don't get paid to look good. If you got paid to look good, so do the men get paid to look good? So you're going to say the same thing about Kevin Owen? You're going to say the same thing about Dusty Rhodes? You can't say that. So does Nia Jax need to lose 150 pounds or she's no good? She's got no self-respect? Is that what you're saying? See how that comes out? She's got it all wrong. These women are no longer, at one time they might have been paid to look good. They're not being paid to look good right now. They're being paid to perform just like the men are being paid to perform. The looks are secondary. If you look good, it helps, I guess. But ask Dana Brooke. I mean, Dana Brooke looks fantastic. Is she the top person in WWE? Lana's, you know, gorgeous. Is she the top person in the WWE? No. No, they're not. So don't tell me that it's all about looks and body. Otherwise, I guess Lana would be the champion. So that's where she misses the boat, Mike. It's not about being paid to look good.
Right. Think about this. You look at Charlotte Flair. Now, granted, she's genetic-wise, yeah, she's got it going on. But you look at her. When she comes back, she's going to look great. You know, she's a great wrestler that looks great. You know, There are great wrestlers that look great, and
sure,
they take pride in looking great. All right, that's totally different. I mean, Lex Luger was an all right wrestler that took pride in looking great. Sting was an all right wrestler who took pride in looking great. You know,
right.
These guys, there are those guys that genetic wise can do that. Basically, guys like. Wrestlers like Becky Lynch don't have the genetics to do that, probably.
Probably not. That's correct. No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm saying it was kind of a classless thing for this woman to say. And it's not true. The women do not get paid to look good. It is not a fashion show. It is not a beauty contest. It's professional wrestling. They're not all being paid to look good. And again, I mean, listen, I try to be fair on here. I don't like Matt Riddle. I'm not a big Seth Rollins fan. His work, I am. I'm a big Seth Rollins fan of his work. I think that there's been many times outside the ring where he's looked like a total idiot. And I get the sense that Seth Rollins probably isn't the world's nicest guy. But when you're right, you're right. And he's right. Put yourself in his place. If some guy's wife had said basically, well, you know, he's not he's married to a girl who's skinny fat and she's, you know, she don't look half as good as I do. And then that guy is in a restaurant talking up a storm about how you're unsafe and you've never evolved as a wrestler when you're the top guy for a long period of time. You're a guy beat Brock Lesnar three times. They won't even let Matt Riddle near Brock Lesnar. Then I'd get upset. Yeah, I would. And I'd say, well, what the hell, man? Why, I'm not putting that guy over. I'm not making him look good. Why should I? He's taking jabs at my wife and me behind the scenes like some third grade, you know, kid. Your girlfriend's ugly and you suck. You know, is that what you are, Matt? Holy mackerel. Huh. And I got a newsflash. Only my personal opinion, so it doesn't really matter. But I saw a picture of Matt Riddle's wife. I'll take Becky Lynch. I think Seth Rollins got the better end of the deal, personally. So, Todd, I mean, you know, I think the lady got it wrong. These women are not paid to look good. They're paid to wrestle well and draw.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like the looks are the secondary in the business. Look at Wendi Richter. She was in the business for her.
Yeah.
She was in it for her physique and everything. And
it's true.
And the wrestle.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, and look, it's not a sexist thing. Don't tell me that there aren't women who are Roman Reigns fans because of the way he looked, because I know some. So don't tell me. Okay. I already know that women are the same way. So, yeah, there's probably a bunch of guys that are like, ooh, man, you know, Sasha Banks is hot, so I'm a Sasha Banks fan. I'm sure there are guys like that. I mean, I'm a guy. I'm not blind. I have my favorites who I say, oh, wow. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to say they're the best wrestler or the worst wrestler. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't base whether they're good or not on their looks. Or like I said, then Lana would be my favorite female wrestler, I guess. And she's not. She's not close. So, yeah. We need to calm down here. Both as fans and as wrestlers, calm down a little bit. If you're a wrestler and you're listening to this show, and I know some of you do, calm down when it comes to the fans. Understand that they're the lifeblood of your business and they're going to bitch and they're going to moan and they're going to complain about everything. But at the end of the day, if they're still coming to see you, you're doing something right. And if you're a fan, understand that a lot of these wrestlers would love to do what you're saying. Okay? I'm sure Rusev would have loved to cut loose in the WWE. He was not given the chance. So for people to just say, well, he sucked in WWE and he can't do it. Well, he could do a lot of stuff, but he wasn't allowed to do a lot of stuff. So you got to understand that it's okay to criticize, but when they do something good, you also have to be the first person there to say that was good. We do that all the time on this show. There was a couple of weeks when I must have gotten 100 letters from people saying, or emails from people saying, you just hate the WWE. I have no idea why you even watch it. You never have a good thing to say about the WWE, ever. Because for about a month, there was nothing good to say. But man, I'll tell you, we gave an A-plus to a SmackDown not long ago and said how wonderful it was. We said Angel Garza had the debut of the decade on Monday Night Raw. When they do something good, we're the first people to say it. I want the WWE to do good. I'd rather be on this radio show talking to you about how wonderful every single episode was. But I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you what I really think. And what I really think is that they screw up a whole lot more than they get things right. And the last thing we need to talk about before we end this is someone had sent me a thing saying, is it true Andretti's going back to NXT? I heard that. But I heard that Charlotte Flair may be the deciding factor on that because Charlotte Flair wants to start some kind of a thing with Andretti. And I got a very good instinct that Charlotte Flair will get her way. If Charlotte Flair says, I want Andretti here and I want him, you know, us to be some kind of a power couple, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Now, maybe Andretti is saying, no, don't do that. I want to go back to NXT. If that's the case, he'll go. Maybe Andretti's saying, no, please, I've had enough of this, which I don't blame him. Supposedly, Vince McMahon says, I see nothing in him. The only thing I can say to Vince McMahon's defense is, he's not charismatic. That he's not. He's not going to draw a huge amount of crowds like Angel Garza, because Garza's got that charisma and that Eddie Guerrero-ish feel about him. I get that. Andretti's not that. Andretti's like that solid wrestler who's going to put on a great match, but you got to give him 15 minutes. And they never give him 15 minutes. They give him 4. So he can't even show you what he's doing. So he's kind of handcuffed. He's not great with the language. He's not overly charismatic. So if Vince McMahon means that, Vince McMahon's probably right. Send him back where he will get 15-minute matches, and he will be able to light it up. As far as the Charlotte Flair thing is concerned, well, if she really honestly wants him there and he wants to stay there, then, I think she's going to get her way, Mike, because she normally does.
She normally does, and they would be remiss not to give her way, because, remember, both her and Andrade have trademarked other names, and if they don't give her way, she's going to try and walk, you know?
Yeah, she can always hold that over their heads, I don't need to resign or whatever. And, the thing is, this is what frustrates me about the WWE. If you didn't like Andrade and you said, I don't see anything really in him, and Andrade, how would you like to go back to NXT? And he said, yeah, I would love that. Why didn't you have at least a three or four week feud with him and Angel Garza that would lead up to a really good 20-minute match? Why didn't you do that? You would have got so much more out of that than a 4-minute match on Raw. You kind of wasted your opportunity. Even if you're going to let him go to NXT, tell him, you know what? Put Angel over at the end, because we're going to be using him. You're going to go to NXT, but you guys are going to have a really good feud on Raw for a few weeks leading up to a pay-per-view match. It's going to be like a 15, 20-minute match where you guys can really light it up. Because at least we'll get something out of it. No, they didn't do that, Todd. Instead, it's 4 minutes and out, and who cares about Andrade?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Andrade, he's not a bad wrestler. It's just the way that they book him, handcuffed. And
yeah, totally handcuffed.
Do what he wants, like do a show he could do on the main roster. But when he was in NXT, he showed off what he could do there. But on the main roster, they did his handcuffed.
All I can tell you is, if anyone does not know who Andretti is outside of WWE, or you think he's not a good wrestler, you go watch him versus Johnny Gargano in NXT, which is to this day one of the top 2 or 3 matches I have seen in my lifetime. In my lifetime of watching professional wrestling. I didn't know who he was until that match. And afterwards I was saying, my God, you got to get this guy up. If he can do this kind of stuff. And you wasted him. So if you don't know who he is, and you're thinking he's just that guy on Raw who never wins, and he's you go watch that match. Anyway, folks, enjoy SmackDown tonight, and we will talk about it on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.